Hi, sorry about that. I'm working on a different computer and it upgraded last night and lost all my passwords. So I had to type it back in again. Sorry about that. So Reese changed what he was doing and I just didn't really feel that that was going to be useful for us. To listen to their goals. This gives us, so we have now until 12, although we'll probably stop about quarter of 12, so we have about an hour. So
Oh, good. So we'll have about a 15-minute
Judy,
break
Allison,
before
and
lunch.
Wendy.
We'll have about a 15-minute break before lunch with Reese.
Yeah, so we'll stop at quarter of 12. Give you guys 15 minutes to go get your lunch. Or we could stop earlier too if we finish this, because I don't have anything specifically planned, but I have something I would like to do. So, yeah, we can stop at 11:30, quarter of 12, so you guys can get your lunch, get organized, and then be back here. At 12 for Reese, okay? But I didn't want to sit there and listen to their goals. I mean, this is their big day. Let them go do their thing. Is can Geraldine, can you just make sure that Judy, Allison, and Wendy?
Yeah, I haven't heard from them this morning. Well,
I didn't even notice if they were on.
We Wendy said something about joining us later.
Yep. Let me check with the other two. Hold on.
Okay.
I had trouble getting in.
Yeah, that was
Yeah, me
my
too.
fault. This isn't my regular computer, and it upgraded last night and wiped out my password. So I had to like find it and type it in. So what I was kind of hoping we would get out of that session really is more conversation about Siddhartha. So we all read that book a long time ago.
We did.
Yeah, we last year.
Yeah.
Or a few years ago.
It was probably the reading for this weekend as well, you know, optional. You did it in year three. I've read it a couple times. I'm always fascinated his take on the books versus my take on the books. I get a little confused by Siddhartha the first time because I went in with the assumption that he was the Buddha. You know what I mean? So I did get very confused. But ultimately, he tried all kinds of different things. And he did it very, like what Reese was saying, very, very intensely. But it comes right down to it. There isn't one path. So what I was kind of thinking is, why don't we go around the room and talk to me about your path? And we can all share our views if anyone's feeling foggy about it or unsure. So the other thing he was supposed to talk about is kind of like your one deliverable. And really, that's what this program is about. That's what Siddhartha is all about. Is your one deliverable. And your one deliverable is being you. And so often it's hard to see it because we think it's something else. And so what I thought is we could go around the room and you guys could each talk about where you are with that, how that feels to you, when you're really in your core, what is that to you? Just what is this for you? I mean, we're at the end of the grad program. You already graduated from the regular school. I see the transition in each one of you. And I'm sure your classmates might see your transition better than you. But how does it feel on the inside? Where are you with this? Where are you on your Siddhartha journey? Where are you on your one big deliverable? And I think that deliverable is kind of a misnomer, because we assume that it's a thing, like a business or a thing or a relationship or whatever. That's really not my experience of it. The deliverable is you, being you in your core. So let's go around and just kind of talk to me about that. How does that feel to you? When do you experience it? What is the difference in your Siddhartha journey between the beginning of the year and now? Where are you going with it? Do you know what I'm trying? Is this question making sense? I know you read Siddhartha a long time ago, but it's just about your journey. No?
I don't remember reading it.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, but my journey, I think I'm on my way. I'm well on my way. The next step, I think, is to actually figure out my spiritual training more. You know, I've always been like, oh yeah, it's just part of it. But I think I've never given it its full weight. So I think that's going to be my next step, is to actually delve into that and figure out. I've always been very, you know, like religion. I'm like, I believe in God, but I'm not going anywhere to practice. You know, I've always, and I'm like, it's always been a sidestep. I've never been, you know, delved into what my true feelings on God are or spirit in that. I do believe, like, the energy and stuff, I do definitely believe that we are part of the whole piece, but I want to have a better understanding and respect for it. So, that, you know, that's, you know, my deliverable is being there and allowing us, giving people a space to present themselves. I think that's, you know, I open up like the room and allow the room to be there for people to be their best person. So that, I believe that's what I deliver.
Nice. And so your spiritual practice, what you're saying is you're going to allow for more time for you to be in the spiritual practice, have the experience of the spiritual practice.
Yes. Yeah. I've started doing like a routine meditation in the morning, short, but doing it. And I've noticed a difference. I feel a difference. So I do want to allow more time to develop that piece.
And what I find with spiritual practice, like you say, it's, you see it making a difference. To me, the spiritual practice is all about letting go of all the things we thought we were, you know what I mean? And just more and more, the spiritual practice gives you time to have the experience of you. And then you bring that everywhere you are. So it's like, the, you know, like the snakes shedding skins, you know what I mean? And you're just shedding all the crap that we've attached to us.
Yeah.
Throughout our lifetime, all the beliefs. And the more you're in that experience of you, the more that stuff falls away, and then you bring yourself out to into the world.
Good. Yeah. Perfect.
I wanna share something that I've been taking a ton of courses. I've really been using this time to study, and all experiential stuff. It's basically, I go every day for 15, 20 minutes, and this woman leads a practice. It's a, you know, they have all these tools. It's access consciousness, and you do 4 or 5 tools every single day. So it's similar to what you're talking about with doing the meditation every day. So that's how, if you're supposed to start your day, but she's in mountain time. So it's like 10 o'clock for me. And then one of the things she does, you know how like when you go into meditation and you feel that connection, you know, that connection to all, Were you in the group, Bill, that we? I was just talking. I know I've said this already, but what she does, like, I can do that more and more. The more spiritual practice I do, the more it's easier for me to just plop into that space. I do a lot of outside since I moved. I'm outside a lot in nature. And what she does is she does this thing. So close your eyes. And she's like, okay, barriers down. And just envision all your defenses, all your masks. Just envision they're all just from the top down falling away, barriers down. And then connect to all it is. And then come back. Personally, that is really helps me. Just adding that one little step helps me to just connect right in. That consciously bringing the barriers down allows me to get into that connected space a lot easier. What was your experience?
I did it, you know, I brought the barriers down. And then when I went to connect to the space, there was some fear. You know, I had, because I protect my heart a lot. So there was a lot of fear of like, oh, geez, you know, there's nothing protecting me now.
Wow.
So it was a little bit hairy, but I could feel it.
When you're at work, Bill, dealing with these enforcers and rule keepers,
mm-hmm.
and you want to get back into your core, that might be a really good one to practice. Now, the way we did it, I said barriers down and then connect to all that is. But you can also do just barriers down and be very cognizant of you being in your core. Like when you're at work, do you know what I mean? So that might help you when you're struggling with people in their defense around you, which is triggering you. Mm-hmm. That barriers down might be an interesting tool for you to use at work too. Hi, Judy.
Hi, sorry, I was doing the feedback form, so that's finished now.
Okay, thank you. What we're doing, Judy, is we ducked out of the year three because they were going into goals and stuff. And what we're doing is basically talk about your Siddhartha journey, which is basically your journey and where you guys are, where you're going. So Bill just shared, and we'll do a few others before your turn so that you can see the gist of it. Is Allison with you?
Yes, but she's still filling out her form over at her computer.
Okay.
But you can hear her, right?
I can.
So she can hear everything.
Okay, good. So we're going to go. I'll give you guys a break prior to lunch. We have lunch with Reese from 12 to 1. So we'll do it, you know, we'll go for a little bit longer till, 11:30, quarter of 12. Then I'll give you guys a break before we go in with Reese. Okay. Who wants to go next?
I can go.
Okay.
Yeah. When I read the book, I related to it then and perhaps more so now because I feel like I did all that. Well, I didn't do the aesthetic thing. I'm never going to do that. But but the other stuff, like I tried being clever and being successful with business and the tantra practice for the sex thing and all and I was and I am successful at those things and the spiritual practice. And now if I'm relating it to the book, I feel like I'm just lying on my back in the canoe, letting the river just wherever, like I'm stopped trying or pushing. And what I realized is, as he did, like all of these things, you need to go through it because you need to try it. And you need to learn from it what it teaches you, the tools. But then that's all they are tools. When you think that one of these things will bring you to enlightenment, that's when you're dissociated and lost. Because none of it will. And the thing is that you never know what will. And you never know when or if you'll get there. But you can just keep acquiring tools and knowing that they're just tools. And sometimes that's just the best you can do.
Jonathan, when you were just speaking, that's it. You're just barriers down, sharing who you are with us. My experience of you just then was really beautiful. You have just such a wonderful heart. You have such a wonderful energy. And when you're not in defense and you're not, when you're just letting, I feel you in the canoe just floating along. Like, wow, how beautiful that is.
It can also, it can be scary too.
Yeah. Same as Bill, right?
But yeah, but you have to realize there's nothing you can do. You can't even steer it. That's why I feel like I'm just laying on my back watching the sky go by as I'm floating down the river. You don't know where you're going to end up and you can't make it end up anywhere.
That's beautiful.
And not surrender.
Yeah.
I think that's also, not to overuse the word, but beautiful too, Jonathan. I mean, that story is so relatable to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. And then, like, I can see you in the canoe, but... you know, you can enjoy the sunlight and you can enjoy the breeze and all that stuff while you're going with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that's an amazing picture.
Thank you. And I just want to add for anyone else who may be at a different point in the journey is that I don't want to tell people don't try or don't explore the different things because you have to. And you have to just take from it what you do. But never get it attached to the idea that that's the answer, because it's not. Whatever it is.
Jonathan.
That's centralizing your power and becoming a magnetic force rather than just a force. Mm-hmm. So instead of doing things to make stuff happen, you're just gathering your power and holding it. That's what it means to hold your heart aligned, exactly what you're describing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people and the experiences and the life lessons and joy and love and all of it will come to you. Awesome.
Or not, and then you get to just watch the sky. Like it's
I know. And yeah, it's like that's all that you need at that moment.
Oh my God, Jonathan. I just wish I could hug you right now.
Yeah, I would like that. But you know what else is funny? In terms of also the story where having the kid is what kind of finally brought him to the point. Back when I was at Cornell, we were having this coaching weekend where these big executives would come in and watch us do these tasks and then coach us on whatever. And my coach, he was the CEO of Waste Management Corporation. And he pulled me aside at the end and he said, I've met one other person like you in my life where they actually do always, not just they think they always have the right answer, but they actually do. And he gave me some advice on how to manage that. And that was important for me. And he said, the one thing that softened the one other guy that I met that was like that was when he had a kid. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. That is so true, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're brilliant, but the softness comes from Goat Boy.
Mm-hmm. So, that's my favorite.
Until you have a kid,
mm-hmm.
connect to Goat Boy.
Yeah.
And be a kid.
You can have one of my kids.
They're for you, Bill.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, that was beautiful. Anything else? That's a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can take much more. Wonderful. Hug. Who wants to go next?
I'll go, but that was a hard act to follow.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Joyce, I might disappear unexpectedly. I'm just trying to shelter in place in my room until they kick me out. So I may have to drop off and take my stuff someplace else.
Oh, you're checking out.
I guess so, yeah.
Or the police are going to come and knock down your door.
Yeah, right. Or maybe I'm locked in and this knob isn't working now either.
So, Deb, do you mind if he goes next so that...
I don't mind. No.
Oh, okay. I can wait. I just wanted...
No, go ahead.
Okay. So are we talking lifelong journey or just this last year?
So we're talking about your lifelong journey, but a piece of that is this year.
Okay.
What the question is to some degree or another, you're already there. And you have touched it. And that's what it was about with Siddhartha, is he tried all these things because he thought it was out there, you know? And we know that's not, it's here.
Mm-hmm.
So you're already there. So it's not about lifelong versus this year. You're already there. So talk about what that is for you.
So, you know, not really relatable to Siddhartha in a way, but like unlike Jonathan, I've dabbled in a tremendous amount of things. I've never committed to things like he did, you know, for a year or more programs, those kinds of things. So I've just been a dabbler. Like I remember when I was 16 or 17 reading a book that it wasn't titled that way, but it was basically some kind of, you know, witchcrafty type thing where you're connected with spiritual things and stuff. So I've always been like weird like that. And, you know, then I had told you guys about the healing event with my son when he was in the NICU and all that stuff. That kind of opened me up to the healing stuff. But then even when I started in the school, like I was like, okay, I've tried all this stuff and it's not doing what they promised, you know, like even the gurus, like Wayne Dyer, he used to be one of my favorites. I mean, he still is, but I just never got what they said I would get from doing whatever it was that they said, you know, their program or their technique or whatever. And so when I got into the program, of course, I was in real keeper mode on the first day, and then eventually things got better. I had that one awakening. I think it was in second year during one of my classmates' hands-on healings. And then even coming out of the third year, I mean, obviously, everything was life-changing. Each year had its own flavor, and I picked up things. But like I have said a lot, sorry, but like I have a hard time following some of Reese's stuff. Like it just doesn't work for me, but it's been great that I can do like still participate in it and have an awesome experience with the energy or the guidance of other people or the school or Reese or whatever. So that's my stuff has had like a unique flavor to it for me. And then in the last year, I felt dead, you know, most of the time because of work and relationship stuff. So I think the most impact has happened since the beginning of this calendar year. So the job, and then finally, and I think it was, you know, a lot to do with you guys, you know, kind of encouraging me for the therapy thing, because I had just let it slide even in the third year. That was supposed to be my goal, is to find out if I even wanted to be in the relationship or not. And I just still, I'm like, you know, we had a big talk and we were supposed to do the therapy and never did. And that went on for a year, like a whole nother year without addressing the issues. So the job combined with the therapy thing opened up something. And I've had this visual that's happened. I talked to my son about it last week. I keep seeing this picture. I talked to Jonathan about this other scene, this recurring scene from my childhood. It's similar to that, where it's just like popping into my head randomly. And it's a picture of me not coming out of a cocoon or anything beautiful like that. It's this crusty, almost like scabby encasement. And I'm almost all the way out of it. Like sometimes when it flashes in, I'm just a little bit further out, or I'm pushing my way out of it a little bit more. And that's been like really like impactful, or it's like a gauge, because like last week was one of the most magical like life experiences, series of life experiences. Like I had mentioned before, just like walking in the morning with my dog, and they'll just stand and, you know, if the sun's out, just like thank it for keeping us alive. And, you know, there's a shamanic thing that I had learned in the class I took where, you know, you ask the sun to take away your pain or whatever. And so I've been doing stuff like that, but sometimes I'm just like overwhelmed with the beauty and gratitude I feel for simply being alive, like Reese was saying this morning. And I've never, like you just said, I've touched on things like that, or in meditations, I, you know, connect with source or whatever, and it's an overwhelming feeling. But just like walking, you know, around the cemetery loop, and for no reason, just being like almost in ecstasy because of how beautiful it is and how thankful I am for the things that I have, and the, you know, the sun, and feeling the breeze. Like it feels like I'm floating through warm water or something. I just can't, it's just been so incredible. So something's happening, something's moving, which is good. And I guess that's it. That's my journey. And this last year, that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been in the program with you guys. Because like I said, I felt dead, and I would have just been rolling along day by day like I had been before I got into the school. So yeah, that's it. That's all.
That's all. So you went from numb to ecstasy in every moment. Potential.
Yeah, that every moment. It just comes, like, sometimes it just hits me out of the blue.
Yeah. It's not a surprise to me that I think Reese sets out a buffet. I think that's what he was kind of saying. And that's how it felt about his program. And he's not bothered which things you eat at the buffet. And he encouraged that the path to be different. So Jonathan's is a little similar to Siddhartha's. Yours is not. But it's your path. And of course, an EIS is going to be very different than a CL on the path.
Right.
But just something you said yesterday really, really has been powerful for me. So I've studied and read about, you know, income inequality and inequity and what it, all the things it causes and distribution of wealth. And you talked about how we are so blessed. We are, wasn't privileged, what was the word?
You cut up there for the last couple of words. What was that?
What was the word? It wasn't privileged. What was the word? We have a lot.
Right.
We have a lot of stuff. We have a lot of whatever. And how you meet that is gratitude. I thought that was quite profound. And that's what I'm hearing as you talk is, I'm grateful for the sun. I'm grateful, you know what I mean? That gratitude brings us into that absolute beautiful space.
Yeah. And I've been doing that for 4 years, you know, trying to do a daily gratitude thing. And I can do it, you know, I can stand in the shower and say, you know, like my nightly children's prayers, you know, thank you for my mommy and daddy and the dog and, you know, all that stuff. And I've been feeling it more and more as time has gone by, but not like just this year. So it's pretty amazing. And then as far as my purpose, that was one of the things about, I think it was probably either the end of third year. It must have been the end of third year when we were working on some of this. I think I told you guys to Reese, he was like, you know, listing off these attributes of me that were good and, you know, that they had an impact on certain people or all people or something like that. And I'm like, but Reese, I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing anything. And he's like, exactly. That's exactly the point of all of this. So, living it daily, and I can't remember if I told all of you or if it was a smaller group, but at this job, you know, I'm not holding anything back and I'm being fully weird and sometimes to the point where it surprises me what I say or do. And, they're really accepting of it, or, you know, I've connected with a couple people who it seems to have opened up their, you know, they're letting their freak flag fly.
Their inner weirdness, right?
Yeah. And, you know, so that's been really good. And then in my personal life, like I haven't been in contact with a ton of people, but except for online. But I'm just like, you know, instead of being surprised. So like sometimes if I'm in a grocery store or whatever, I go through the line and all of a sudden the cashier just like blurts out their life story. And many times people will like shake their head like they're coming out of a, you know, a meditation or a hypnosis. And they'll be like, I don't know, I just told you that. And that was surprising me a lot, like for most of my life, or especially like disabled people of some kind, you know, they're like drawn to me, and that it was kind of annoying for a while, because as a child, I remember that happening. And then I always felt self-conscious of it because, you know, the retarded kid was like hanging out with me or whatever. But now I'm not, like, it's not surprising anymore. It's not that I'm being egotistical or thinking that I'm all that, but it's just like, you know, that's what happens. And, you know, something about me is drawing them in and allowing them to either express themselves or to feel included or something. So I guess that's how I'm living my purpose, you know, not always just trying to help somebody. Oh, and the other thing that's come up recently, I did a healing, a remote healing for somebody, and the whole voice thing has come up over and over again, where they said, you know, after the healing, we were talking about the empathetic communication stuff. And I said, well, I'm taking a class. Oh, it's probably them kicking me out. I'm taking a class, and she's like, you know, just you being there and speaking is healing for people. You don't have to take a class or, you know, find out techniques or anything like that. She said simply talking to somebody and them hearing your voice is comforting and makes them feel safe and stuff. And I really appreciated that. And that's another thing that just happens naturally. I don't know what it is, but if that helps people, then.
So isn't this wonderful? Like, each one of you are acknowledging and honoring those pieces of you, and they're very different, very different. Team player, CL, EIS, very different. And that's what you were to this group as well. Like, I know you got a lot out of being in the group, but you also, each one of you, were a gift to one another as well. Yay! Hey, look at all these Siddharthas, all these different flavors of Siddhartha. Deb, do you want to go next?
Sure. I find that when I'm in my core, I feel very comfortable. It's just, I feel good. And then other times I get in situations where I'm not as comfortable, and I kind of get this nervousness and I go to the smile. Like in the first year, Lisa said a big smile can be hiding things.
Mask, yeah.
Yeah. And when I get in a situation where I'm kind of not comfortable, I get nervous and I smile. And I'm still doing that different times, but I'm every once in a while aware that I'm doing it, which is a good thing.
Huge.
But I would like to get into feeling in my core more so than I am. And I think it's when I go out and when I'm with people, I kind of lose it. So I don't know if I need to meditate on that or what I need to do or just be aware of it. But I found too that, like, in the fall, when the leaves were turning, and I keep looking around, and I thought, why is it so beautiful this year? And I thought, then I'm listening to things reset and stuff, and I'm thinking, I was in my core then. That's why I appreciated it so much more. So, you know, I can see it happening. I just would like it to be more often.
So, isn't it already more often?
I'm sure it is. But when I get into that nervousness, it's uncomfortable, and I want it to go away.
Deb, can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you acknowledge or realize that when you get into that space and you smile, you're literally putting on a mask?
Yes, I do understand that now.
And you're doing that because you don't feel safe being you in front of this other person, and so you're protecting yourself from whatever judgment or them knowing you.
Fear.
But by doing that, it feeds into your or and a feeling of not having control in your life because you're reacting and just protecting yourself from other people's actions instead of taking your own.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And so it's that smiling to mask who you are that prevents you from taking control. So.
Reminds me of Bill's fear. Mm-hmm. So one thing you could do is the awareness of the feeling of you going out of your core or putting on the mask is huge, like really huge, because you're feeling it as it's happening.
Yeah.
So then you're feeling yourself put on the mask, again, for protection. So one thing you can do is ask a question. What else is possible? So you feel the feeling coming. Make sure your feet are on the ground. You know what I mean? Do a physical representation. I wonder, and Judy, you could might be able to answer this better, but I wonder if she in her mind did this, like in your mind.
Yeah.
Or this in your mind.
Right.
Would that change her energetically, especially if you're doing this when you're not in those situations, you know what I mean? Building those muscles. And then in your mind, you know, bring yourself to that, like you did when you were talking to Reese yesterday.
Yeah.
Right? You kind of did this.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Does that work the same way, Judy?
Well, it's going to work differently for everybody, right? It's going to be whatever that means to her. So, I mean.
But I mean, if she imagines it, if she's doing it physically,
yeah,
and bringing up the image of it in her mind in those situations,
yeah,
will that have the same effect?
She needs to do it physically a bunch of times so that she can recall how it feels in her body. So, but
okay.
I see Deb do that even at
the gym
at AST. I see you go from mask to unmasked and there. Yeah. So,
yeah.
When you're putting on the mask, are you aware of what you're protecting yourself from?
I think it's fears I've had probably all my life.
Okay, because I think an important step, I mean, doing this can definitely give you the energy to try to overcome it. And I think that in order to really shift it, you need to identify what it is you think you're protecting yourself against. And because when you do that, you can recognize it. And when you can recognize it, you can also recognize it's not an actual threat. But if you don't really recognize it and it's just a reaction, then it's harder to control.
I'm kind of thinking what I have to do is that when I'm out with people, I just have to be very aware of what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's when it happens.
Right. Well, I mean, it's all to be around people because those are the threats.
Yeah.
So you're not threatened when there's no one else around.
Right.
Yeah. Well, what is it about
them? I'm sorry.
So, but what is it about them? What are they doing? What are you afraid that they're doing or thinking that you're putting on a mask to protect against?
I don't know, because I've had fear all my life. Like when I would go to school, I was kind of afraid of the teachers, anybody in authority, you know. So I kind of had that fear in me. So I don't know where it started from.
Sounds like inner child work to me.
I see
sounds like what?
A lot of
inner child.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Judy?
Sorry. I see a lot of people pleasing when you're doing it. So.
Right. Right.
It reminds me of, I can't even remember. I think I had you for the first homework And you talked about how when you were a young child, you didn't speak, you stopped speaking. It has to do with your mom, right? It had to do with your mom?
Yes.
So Bill brought up inner child. That's kind of what I was feeling as well. Could you do some of that when you're not with a group? Do some of that reparenting, some of those reparenting things.
I haven't taken the
Okay, so the one that Lisa did, I don't know if there's a recording of it, an audio recording of it from that class. I think it was weekend 2 or 3, I can't remember. But basically, when that fear comes up, you say to your child, of course you're gonna feel that way. That's perfectly normal. You soothe the child, and then you say, hey, you go play, go have fun. And then you bring in one of your other archetypes, one of your more mature adult archetypes. Don't worry, we'll take care of it. You go play, we'll take care of it. So it's you acknowledge the emotion as perfectly normal, the fear, whatever it is. Bill, this one might work for you too. When you did barriers down and the fear came up, right?
Yeah.
Acknowledge the fear. Acknowledge that, of course, they feel that way. You know what I mean? Support them, the child. The child is what's afraid. And then say, okay, listen, why? You're fine. Go play and the adults will take care of this, and let your child go play.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that was the method.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, good. All right, I hate to do this, but we have to move on a little bit because we still need to do Judy and Allison. Okay. Was that helpful, Deb?
Yes. Yes, thank you.
Okay.
All right, Allison can't see the screen from where she is, so we're just doing some.
Your hair looks beautiful.
Because you're not here.
But thank you.
All right. So I do want to give you guys a little bit of a break before Reese. So you either whoever wants to go first, either one of you, where you are.
Thanks, Judy.
I'll take up my.
I hardly remember the book, so I don't know where I am on the journey. But
can you get closer to the computer?
Oh yeah. Sorry.
There's all this stuff in the way.
It's a story for another time. Sorry.
How is that like your life?
Okay, so I'm at the point in the journey where I'm throwing this shit away. I don't remember the book at all, so I don't really know how to speak to the Siddhartha part. But I think I have more courage than I've had and conviction in a long time to make moves that are just for me. And I'm very excited and happy about it. I'm able to feel the light at the end of the tunnel, and I know that I will get myself there.
I was in a teacher meeting or something. Maybe it was when Geraldine and I met with Reese to prep for this weekend. So the two of us go through the agenda with Reese. I'm pretty sure this is when I heard this. And he said, and you can correct this, Geraldine, if I didn't say it properly, but he said something like, yeah, Geraldine went from being, you know, this beautiful young girl into a woman this year. Like, she has stepped into her womanhood. It wasn't exactly, it was something like that. And Geraldine, were you in that conversation?
Allison.
What was really funny is she just used my name in place of you, Allison.
Yeah.
That Allison grew up into a woman this year.
Yeah. That's it. There you go.
Wow. At 37.
Yay.
Who knew?
It. Yay.
Exactly.
At least it happened.
I hope it happened. Yeah, I think it happened.
But you didn't lose your child.
Yeah, I was going to say that. She kept her child with her. It's cool.
Beautiful.
It looks good on you.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're glowing.
Thank you.
It's the rouge.
I think that sums it up, unless anyone else has something. I mean, you just stepped into it. It's like you walk through a doorway. It's beautiful.
I do find it interesting that the year that I started the program was the year I got married.
Really?
Got married in May of 2016 and started at RTI in October.
Wow.
So, interesting full circle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm excited about new adventures ahead.
Nice. Perfect. And we were so glad you joined us this year,
yeah.
Allison.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me pop in. I know how traumatic that can be. We had that happen in our class. So thanks. Thanks for being open to me and for letting me in.
Well, and I think it's a reflection of you, how well it went. Like, you guys were all super receptive, but you were also, I thought it was brilliant. Like, I think everyone just thrilled. You guys are such a cool group. I think this is like a new mini tribe you get going here, right? All right, if that feels complete, Judy.
Okay, I didn't really read Siddhartha very completely, so I don't, I can't speak to that journey. But my journey, I don't know where to start, but I guess when I started at RTI, I didn't talk to anybody. I couldn't talk to anybody. Bill talks about that occasionally, but I just didn't have the ability. I thought people didn't like me and that they were, you know, I didn't have that ability. And so the whole RTI process has really helped to get me to be a hugger again, you know, and bring that compassion back to people and trust and you know, like that I can see more of the good and I kind of like people again. So Bill's laughing at me.
So. I'm not laughing. I'm just happy for you.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Me too.
Yeah. You smile more.
You're so much brighter.
Yeah.
Not as heavy energy.
Yeah. 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 It feels good. It really does. So, I mean, I knew when I had my corporate job that I was like slowly getting, shut down, and I knew I needed to get out of that environment, but then I didn't know how to shift it. So RTI definitely helped with that.
You know you're beloved in this group.
Mm-hmm.
You feel it?
Yeah.
Yes. Now there's a beautiful softness.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so huggable.
Yeah. So, and the whole thing, you know, it's like the butterfly effect, right? I'm here because Lisa Campion drove by my Pilates studio and wanted to do Pilates, you know, and I didn't know who she was. And then the next thing I know, you know, I have an extra room and she says, what are you going to do in there? And I said, I don't know. I think I'm going to hire somebody to come and teach Reiki. And she says, I teach Reiki. I'm like, oh, cool. So that's how it happened. In that Reiki class, the Reiki one was Lydia, Diane Montgomery, Sherry Clinton.
Shit.
Yeah, the TA was Patty Zub, but Patty's office was in the building at the time. Yeah, so it was, so that explains everything, right?
Yeah.
Magnet that grabbed you and pulled you in.
Yeah, yeah.
You had no choice.
None.
None.
Yeah.
You look so much happier.
Oh, good. I thought she was going to say hungover.
Now, why would that be?
I have to admit, I'm a little hungover. I didn't eat, and I had a couple drinks, and then I woke up this morning like, I'm going to puke. I feel terrible. But I didn't eat, and I didn't really eat all day yesterday, so it caught up with me. And I think my whole, the last couple weeks and lack of sleep kind of caught up to me last night. Anyway, but it's not about me. It's about Judy. So you don't look hungover.
Okay, thanks. But I go to bed at 10 o'clock every night because I'm like that age. I go to bed at 10, and last night I was not in bed at 10.
I know. I woke up this morning in this
office. Oh, like, 12 or 1.
What I kept you up until
what were they doing last night? Like, what? And I'm trying to read. I'm like, I don't understand. Sandwich bags, condoms.
Did you hear about Bill Schuller was dating that lucky, but he didn't get
what lucky. What happened?
He walked out of his room.
I was kind of lucky. I got a discounted, I don't know what the discount is yet, but for my inconvenience, so.
They didn't give you a like checkout for your inconvenience, so.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
Didn't like me that much.
Whatever your girls did, your hair is fabulous this morning. It really is.
We should do that more often, Judy.
It is, it looks awesome.
But we had a really good time with our brother Jonathan on the phone on Zoom last night. So, and anybody else was welcome, but nobody came.
I think I was asleep before I got the. Are you going to join us? I saw that this morning.
Yeah, I saw it this morning too. Hey, did I tell you guys about Jayatal? Is tonight?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. What is it on the third year?
It's on the main one.
I would guess the main one, yeah.
Okay.
There's a Facebook post that tells you which Zoom it's on.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you. So you all have the feed. I'm going to let you go. You all have the feedback forms. Oh, wait a minute.
Judy, I don't know where it is.
Wait a minute. Judy, do you feel complete?
Yes.
Okay.
More so than any other year.
What?
More so than any other year.
Oh, yay. Yeah. You guys are so sweet. What a great group.
Oh, shucks. We can't help it.
It's wonderful that it's small, huh? But even the other grad years that were like 15, you guys, you ate together. You know what I mean? You always traveled as a pack. Really, the bonding, I don't know. Maybe it's the size, it's definitely the people, but the bonding has been really, really amazing to watch. So go grab some lunches, be back here at 12. Try to do your feedback form, although we have another break from 1 to 1:15. You can do your feedback forms then. I just don't want to get, I don't want to have to impinge on any of the your grad celebration time. Who hasn't done their form yet?
I haven't.
Okay, so you guys will get it done before. Well, we're going to. So we have.
I have to find it. Isn't it? It's in an email?
Yeah, we sent an email.
There's an email, and then there's a text that tells you where it is on the site. So you could just log into the website and just.
I can't get into the student website. It keeps taking me to something else.
Oh.
A different website.
Check your email then, because there's a link there that will just pull it right up.
And who sent the email?
I did.
Okay. All right. I'll
thank you, Geraldine.
Thank you. I don't think we've
been technically challenged
in a while, and it might have dumped it into your junk.
I just have to.
Oh, I'll look.
Go ahead. Sorry.
So we have Reese from 12 to 1. Then we'll take a small break. Then we have surgical guide healing. And then 2:30 till the end, you guys can do your celebration. Certificates. Did we talk about certificates? Reese is going to try to have an in-person thing in August if we're allowed. And you'll get your certificates then. Or they'll mail them. But the easiest going to try to do an in-person thing for certificates.
I just need to say one thing.
Sure.
I need to set up the altar for later. But
we can't hear you very well.
I just need to set up the altar for later. And if everyone comes with like a notebook or something to write with and something to cover their eyes with for the journeys, that would be Oh, and if you have something to make like a noise, I know most of you don't have a rattle with you, but something just to make a rhythmic sound with, that would be for the opening circle at least, that would be good. But if you don't, that's fine.
Awesome.
I just realized that I'm going to have to like try to do this in my car. Hopefully I can catch a Wi-Fi signal.
Okay.
Because I don't think it'll... I'd be too self-conscious doing it here in the
lobby. Yeah, you need to be in an area where you won't be disturbed. So,
All right. I am going to close this room and then just reopen it right away so the recordings will be separated.
Okay.
So I'm going to shut it down and then turn it back on. You can come back in as soon as you want. Okay?
So can I just say one more thing?
Yes.
I booked my day tomorrow wrong, so I need to go home today. I thought I was going to stay here tonight. So I'm going to leave here at 1, right? And we're going to do the healing tomorrow, Allison and I, because I'll drive.
Are you a pair?
Yes. Can we be a pair?
We are a pair.
Yeah, okay.
Are you already a pair?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay. Okay. And then I'll be home to do my rattle and not have to worry about.
Well,
you'd be doing it too. Yeah, so it'll be all right. Okay, thank you.
Okay, we'll see you guys in a bit.
Bye.
Okay.